sure am thankful for a wonderful choir. Some good singing. Genesis chapter number 12. I'll be in verse number 6, Miss Tracy, if you want to go ahead and put that up there. We're going to read some verses. I like reading the Bible. If you come here very often, you know that we, every now and then I'll throw one verse out there and preach on one verse, but most of the time I want to give you several verses. I want to get the context of it. And we want to make sure we understand what's happening in this place and why what has been written is been written. All right. So as we look at this, Abram at this point has already been told to go into the land of Canaan. God had separated him out to make a nation out of him. God had done so, and he had promised Abram he made a promise to Abram of a great nation or a seed that would come out of Abraham that would produce a great nation. So everybody look at me right here. God had already made a promise to Abram that he was going to have a son. I need everybody to hear me. All right. Now you and I know the rest of the story. And so we know that the son that God had promised to him, Abraham did get, and that boy's name was Isaac. All right. But here is the beginning of Abram's life. It's the beginning of the scripture as far as Abram is concerned. And in chapter number 12, he is given once again the confirmation of a promise that God would give him a seed. The Bible tells us in verse number 6, this is Abram. He has left Haran, and he has now passed into the land that God said was his and that he would give, that was already, not give, he already owned the land, and that is the land of Canaan. Now, many people in churches, they make this mistake, and they mistake Canaan as heaven. All right. I'm going to cross over that Jordan River into heaven or into Canaan. All right. Canaan was never scripturally meant for it to be, heaven. All right. Say, preacher, can you prove that? Yes, I can. They battled in Canaan. We're not going to be battling in heaven. I need somebody to help me. There's no battles to be won in heaven. All right. So Canaan cannot be in typology heaven. All right. Now, I know that disagrees with some of the songs and bad theology that goes along with them, but that is there, all right? All right, so what does Canaan mean? What is Canaan when it concerns you and I? I believe that it is a typology of the will of God. Canaan is where God wanted his people to be. I need somebody to help me. Canaan is where God wants you to dwell. It is the will of God for your life. In typology. Is everybody with me? All right. So we're going to look at this from typology standpoint this morning. We're going to get some things out of it if we can. All right. So starting in verse number 6 of chapter 12 of Genesis, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, or Merah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So he's in the land of Canaan, and the Bible tells us that the Canaanites are dwelling there. The Bible says in verse number 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And so Abram gets a visit from the Lord, and God tells him, this land that you're standing on, I'm giving it to your seed or your son. Everybody look at me. All right. Everybody needs to grab a hold of this. God told him, I'm going to give you a son, and this is the land that is his. Is everybody with me? That's going to become significant later on in the sermon. That's why I'm trying to get you to get it. All right. Verse number 8. The Bible says, and he removed from thence and unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram comes into Canaan. He gets into Canaan and God says, hey, That promise that I made to you of a son, this is where he would dwell. This land is his. So what did Abram do? He built an altar. He built an altar and he worshiped God. Everybody all right? Abram then moves thence, the Bible says, into a mountain. Goes up on a mountain east of Bethel. Bethel, by the way, means the house of God. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, the house of God on the west. Is everybody all right? And Ai on the east. Ai means a house of ruin. So Abram was between the house of God and a house of ruins. I need somebody to hear me, because this is where every one of us live. This is where every single one of us live. On one side is a place where God meets with us. On the other side, away from him, is ruin. But I want you to notice what Abram did again. There he did what? He built an altar. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you, I wish I had time to preach everything that I want to preach. We'd be here till next week. But the truth of the matter is the condition that America is in right now is because we have chosen a place of ruins. We've chosen a house of ruins. We made everything about the house of God evil. COVID pops up and, oh, it only happens at the church. I remember when they started doing all this, declaring what was essential. Church wasn't essential, but the liquor store was. Somebody needs to hear me. I don't care if you drink or not. You don't like me, I don't care. But when we start trying to convince people that a liquor store is better off for them than the house of God, then let me just say this. This might offend some people too. We've become a nation of idiots. We are living between the blessings of God and total ruin in our lives. You and I, that's where we operate and that's where we function. We can make a choice for the blessings of God, or we can make a choice that will absolutely ruin our life. And it happens very subtly. It happens when circumstances around us get overwhelming and we think that God can't. And all of a sudden we start trying to figure out how we can. And that's exactly where Abraham's at right here. He's positioned where all of us is, between the house of God and a house of ruins, or a place of ruins. And verse 9 says, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Wasn't good enough. He kept moving. The Bible says he started going south. And of course we know in typology down. And we find our place in verse number 10. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt. Egypt in your Bible, typology. I promise you we're getting somewhere. Egypt in your Bible in typology is the world. God saved his people in the book of Exodus out of Egypt. God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, Satan. I need somebody to hear me. Y'all thought Exodus was just a cool little book in the Bible, but it's actually your testimony. God saved you. You were in bondage. You were a slave to sin. You were a slave to the world. Pharaoh had total control over you. God came in with a deliverer. That deliverer, I need somebody to help me. That deliverer, he brought you out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Man, this is some good stuff. Man, I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Many people say, man, Old Testament, man, that thing was written thousands of years ago. What is that? What relevance does it have today? A bunch.
Yes, sir. Amen.
A bunch.
Amen.
So many people stay away from the Old Testament. Praise God, I'm glad we got Old Testament. Abram was stuck. He was in a place between the house of God and a house of ruins. The Bible says he journeyed south and he went into Egypt, went back into the world. Y'all stay with me. I know this ain't kind of preaching that everybody wants and they ain't going to jump. I know y'all ain't going to jump, run around and do all that other stuff. But you have a choice. Many Christians struggle in their life because they're trying to live a life free of bondage in Egypt. See, God delivered us out of Egypt, but we're trying to live in Egypt and still be free. This is where Abraham was at. There was a famine in the land. So Abram went down into Egypt and sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Remember what I told you, circumstances around him made him think that God couldn't. And so he had to figure out how he could. And so since God couldn't feed him in the famine, he decided he was going to go down into Egypt because a man got to eat. Yo, everybody all right? Oh, that ain't what I'm preaching. I'm just having fun with you right now, all right? Verse number 11. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Everybody look up here. She was over 60 years old. Is everybody all right? Say, preacher, how do you know that? The Bible tells us up in a few verses up there in the top, verse number 4, that Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran and went into Canaan. Sarah was 60 years old, and apparently she was hot. I need somebody to help me. Abram looked over there at Sarah, 60 years old, and he said, look here, babe. You too good looking for me to be traveling in this, be walking right into Egypt now. So look at what he does in verse number 12. So in verse number 12 he says, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Man, she must have been some kind of a looker. Matter of fact, as a study that I've done on it, said that she was more beautiful than Eve. Can't believe that. I don't believe that. I think God made a perfect woman way, way back in the day. Is that all right? Is that all right to say? Hey, you can't just, it can't be one-sided. It can't be Adam ain't perfect. Adam ain't about it. It can't just be that. Is it about right? All right, I'm moving on because y'all mad. All right, verse number 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee, or well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now, he gets husband of the year award for this one. Right? He's walking into Egypt and he says, hey, babe, you looking good. And he said, I'm going to need you to do something for me because if I go in there and they think you're my wife, they're going to kill me so they can have you. So I need you to tell them that you are my sister and that way I'll be saved. Husband of the year. Father Abraham. It's amazing he's a father at all. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says in verse number 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. Apparently, it was well known. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord, I'm going to stop right there. Abram said, tell him you're my sister so that I can live. And then they come and take Sarah from Abram. And Abram's like, they're like, hey man, we come to get her for Pharaoh. And Abram's like, all right, but you're going to have to give me some. I'm going to need a sheep for that. Few oxen, everybody all right? I'm having fun with this. I'm going to need some donkeys. some men servants, some maid servants. I'm going to need some of them female donkeys too. A few camels. Bible says in verse, Lord help us. Father of the year. Husband of the year. Come on, everybody look over at your, every woman, you look over at your husband and say, don't even try it. Verse number 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. I'm going to read four more verses in chapter number 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. As we look at this morning, I hope that you caught the fact that Abram had built altars when he was in God's will. As long as Abram was in the will of God, he built altars and he stayed and lived around those altars. We are living in a day and time where we want Christianity without the altar. We want Christianity and we want the ticket to get into heaven. We want all those things, but we do not want it if it means hanging around the house of God or hanging around an altar of God. Altars, man, what are they there for? What is an altar there for? An altar is a place that you and I can visit and commune with God. It's a place that we can commune with God. It's a place where God meets with us. I'm thankful for the altars that God has established in my life, not only in the church, but in my personal life, in my life at the house, in my life at the wherever. I'm thankful for the altars that have been established where I can commune with God. Those altars, not only do they allow me to be able to commune with God, but those altars allow me to be able to confess my sins. And I need somebody to help me right here. I need to confess my sins. I am not perfect. I promise you, I get up, put my pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. I hope. All right, is everybody all right? I do things just like you do. I get mad just like you do. I get upset just like you do. It's amazing to me that you expect me to act differently than you. I need somebody to help me. Somebody insult me, I get defensive. I need somebody to help me. Somebody insult my family, I get... Come on, y'all. I mean, if you can be offended by stuff, why can't I? Oh, I'm the preacher. Preacher, you're held to a higher standard. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you putting them things on my life. Oh, well, God's Word put those things on your life. Well, we want to talk about God's Word and what it puts on our lives. There are some standards that you're not living up to either. Now, I'm not being ugly to you. I'm just telling you we need to alter so we can confess our sins. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So an altar is it's a place where you and I commune with God. It's a place where you and I can confess our sins. It's a place where you and I concede our life. The Bible says that you and I are to be a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable which the Bible says is our reasonable service.
That's right, amen.
But it's also a place where we celebrate God, though. I like that one, amen. Boy, we like that because, I think that that's not done enough. I think that if we got real honest with ourselves, if we went home, listen here, y'all have heard me say this before and I picked it up from somewhere else, but if tomorrow you only had the things that you thank God for today, how different would your life be tomorrow? Would you have a wife? Would you have kids? Would you have grandkids? Would you have a house? Would you have a car? Would you have a job? Would you have food on your table? Would you have clothes on your back? Why are y'all so quiet? I tell you why, because we don't spend enough time at our altars. Our altars are meant, we have perverted our altars. We have corrupted our altars, and our altars, the only thing that an altar means to most of us is, God, I need this, I need that, I need this, and I need this. We go to God like he's an ATM. Is everybody all right? And get mad when he don't spit out what we need. And so Abram, if you'll notice, what got Abram in trouble was when he left the altars. The Bible says he went down into Egypt. He went south. He went down into Egypt. And there in Egypt, he experienced some things. I'll talk to you about those things just for a few moments if I can. He experienced famine. The Bible says it was a grievous famine. He experienced a grievous famine. Can I say this? There's a lot of people that are living in a spiritual famine. Y'all look up in here now. We ain't talking about you ain't got food on your table. If you ain't got food on your table, see me, I'll put food on your table. I ain't talking about physical food. We're talking about spiritual food.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of people today that are living in a grievous famine. They don't study their Bible. They don't know how to read their Bible. They won't take time to read their Bible. Somebody help me now. We got plenty of time for Facebook. We got plenty of time for social media. We got plenty of time to put out there our opinion, what's on our mind, what's this, what's that. But when do we have time? We got plenty of time to read the TV or watch the TV. We got plenty of time to read books. We got plenty of time to listen to the music on the radio. We got all this time, but we can't make time for God. And we wonder why our life is the way that it is. It's because we're living in spiritual famine. We're living in a spiritual famine. And this is where Abraham was. He went back into the world and he experienced life and living life in a famine. There's a lot of Christians that are living. Listen to me. Everybody look up here. You're not getting all God has for you because you're living. You're trying to live where there's no altars and experience God's blessings. We've gone that back into the world and still trying. Is everybody right? Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you this morning. And so we're experiencing spiritual famine.
Yes, sir.
Most people I can say, turning your Bibles to this passage of scripture. I got the kids the other day. I told them to turn to Jonah. Bro, I'm telling you, that was a trip. 2.5 hours later, the last one finally found Jonah. I need somebody to help me. I said, turn your Bible to Jonah. And they all looked at me like, it's in the Bible.
Amen.
Hey, I was telling them a joke about CT. By the way, CT's preaching tomorrow night at a camp. And we're going over there. If anybody wants to go, let me know. But anyhow, CT, his daddy, got up there in chapel one night. And he said, y'all turn your Bible to Hezekiah. Hezekiah ain't in your Bible. But C.T. Townsend was over there frantically looking for Hezekiah.
Amen.
Hey, we joke about it, but the truth of the matter is that most people don't have spiritual discernment anymore.
That's right.
And it's because, listen, y'all stay with me. I'm trying to make a point.
Come on.
We've let the influence of everything in the world into our minds.
That's right.
And we're not putting anything of God in it. Well, preacher, on Facebook, people post verses on Facebook all the time. If that's what we're relying on for our spiritual well-being, y'all help me, then we are in grave danger. See, when we get away from the altars, we experience spiritual famine in our lives. How many of y'all, come on now, I need some adults to testify. How many of you has gotten away from God at times in your life and found yourself in a very dry place? If nobody else has, I have. So he experienced a grievous famine. He experienced, not only that, he experienced a great fear. Bible says that when he came to Egypt, he started manipulating his environment. Sarah, you too good looking girl to be me to be just rolling up in there in Egypt. I'm going to need you, y'all help me now. I'm going to need you to lie for me. Y'all stay with me. When we get away from the altars and we get into a time of spiritual famine, we end up in a time of great fear. Stay with me. We doubt God's ability. What did I tell you God promised Abram? A son.
Yes, sir.
Did he have a son?
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's right.
You know what that made Abram? Invincible. I'm going to say it over on this side. If God said Abram was going to have a son, and Abram had yet to have a son, at this point in Abram's life, you couldn't kill him. There was no reason for him to be living in fear. Why? Because God said, you're going to have a son. God promised him a seed. And so there was no reason for him to be living in fear. He was living in fear because he was away from the altars. He was away from communion with God. And he found himself in fear because of the circumstances around him. I need somebody to help me right here. These people, every time they get out of church, they start wandering away from church and everything else, and all of a sudden they start doubting their salvation. They start doubting what God had done in their life and what God is capable of doing in their life. And what it leads most people to is getting farther away from God. Why? Because when we leave the altars and get back in the world, we'll start fearing things that God never intended for us to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right. Amen.
I'm having fun. Stop living in fear this morning.
Yes.
Say, preacher, you ain't looking at what all is going on in the world? No, I'm seeing it just like you are, but I'm not living in fear. I know where I'm going. I know what's going to happen to me. I know what's going to happen to my family. Praise God. I pray that I know what's happening to my family.
Come on.
I'm just going to trust God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If Abram would have trusted God, he'd have never been in Egypt. He'd have never went to Egypt. Come on, y'all. Number three, I'm about done. He experienced a great famine or a grievous famine, a great fear, and a gross failure. Number three, a gross failure. This man literally, while it was a half-truth, because she was like his half-sister, don't ask me to explain that. It was still a whole lie.
That's right.
Some of y'all need to hear that. Just because you mix a little bit of truth in doesn't mean that it's not a lie.
That's right. Come on.
Hey. It got so bad that this man took his wife. I need somebody to help me right here. I need a man to help me right here. Ain't nobody coming and taking my wife.
That's right. Amen.
Now, she may choose to walk out the door, and I don't know why she hadn't many times, but ain't nobody coming and taking her.
That's right.
I told Sunday school class this morning, I didn't spend all that money on things I spent money on for me to just sit back and let somebody take anything from me. I'll let you figure out what those things are. Amen. But he experienced gross failure. I bet Abram would have never dreamed that he'd just turn his wife over to somebody else.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. I need a lady to help me right now. I bet Sarah, I never dreamed that Abram would be like, hey, I'm going to need you to take the fall on this one. Now look here. I can hear it right now. Abram looked over at Sarah and said, look, you're just going to need to trust God on this. Don't worry. He probably ain't going to kill you. He'd kill me. Ain't no telling what he's going to do to you, but he won't kill you. You're too good looking. Don't worry about it. Who does that? And we call this guy patriarch of the faith. Y'all help me. I need somebody to help me. I mean, we have testimonies in Hebrews chapter number 11 of the faith of Abraham and how great Abraham's faith was. And this joker's going into Egypt talking about, hey, look here. You're going to have to trust me on this one. I need you to tell him you're my sister just in case something happens. That way I don't die. I'm a little more important than you are. He called me, not you. I'm having some fun. Y'all, see, this stuff's in between the lines. Y'all help me. Abram's like, look, that promise was to me, not you. That means I can have a seed. I can have a son with somebody else.
Wow.
Oh, preacher, what are you? Preacher, you are messed up. No, Abram was. Do you not see that? Abram in a million years would have never thought that he'd have got to the place where he was doing what he was doing, but he did. He did because he got away from the altars. He got away from the place where God wanted him to be. And the farther he got away, the worse of a man he became. He did things that he thought he never would. Who in their right mind would say, here's my wife, take her, I don't want to die. I'm going down. Me and her might both go down together, but I'm going down. Listen, I pray I am. Let me say it that way. Let me not boast of things that I've never had to experience, but I can't imagine getting to a place where you're like, hey, listen here, let him do whatever you want to you. I'm... But we'll do things when we get away from our altars and when we get away from the house of God, we'll do things we never thought we'd do. If I could tell you how many people's coming to my office, preacher, I never thought my life would end like this. I never thought that I'd be where I am today. Why? Because they walked away from an altar. God had a place for them. God gave them a place. God provided a place for them and they walked away. Now listen, I got good news for you. Because some of us might be in that place. Some of us, listen, you might be in any one of those three stages that I just talked about. You might be in a spiritual famine right now. You might be in living in the great fear right now. You might have already committed gross failure right now. But I want you to know something. We got a gracious friend.
Yes, we do.
Verse number 17, I want you to look at a verse with me, if you will. And the Bible says, and who? And who, say it with me? The Lord plagued Pharaoh.
That's right.
When Abram wouldn't do what he was supposed to do, God did it.
Amen.
I need somebody to help me right here. When Abram would have messed up his whole life, when he would have messed it all up, God stepped in.
That's right.
I like this. Because I mean, if you and I were reading the story and if a Baptist was writing this, he would have wrote, and the Lord punished Abram. I'm going to step over here. If you and I were writing this, because man, when somebody messes up, we need them to pay for it. Abram made a mistake and who stepped in? A gracious friend. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Turns out Abram needed her. Somebody help me. I'm going to throw that out there for anybody that might be thinking there's one better around the corner, all right? You need her. Look at me, fellas. Everybody look at me. Nobody else will put up with you.
I know
my wife, bless her heart. Bless her heart. All that she has to go through. I got the best woman in the world. My wife is absolutely perfect. So how do you know that? Cause nobody else will put up with me and I can't live without my wife. All right. All right. Let me move on. He experienced a gracious friend. Say, preacher, I've gotten away from God. God wants you back.
Yes,
preacher, I'm experiencing great fear and doubt in my life. Listen, God wants you back.
Yes,
preacher, I've had a gross failure in my life. Listen, God still wants you back.
Yes,
so much so that God showed up where he was at. God protected him. I want you to notice this. I ain't got time to preach this. I'm going to let you go right here. I'm fixing to be done. But God promised him a seed. And God was protecting his promise. I need somebody to help me right here. God has made some promises to you and I. If you and I stay in his will, if you and I stay in here where he has designed for us to be in our life, God has promised us some things. But God has promised us an eternal life with him as well. And he keeps his promises. God protected him because God's promise. Y'all ain't getting it. God didn't do it for Abram's sake. God did it for his sake. I need you to understand that. God didn't protect Abram for Abram's sake. God did it for his sake. I just thought of a verse. Let me find it. No, I got it. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I'm going to say that again. He restoreth my soul. I'm going to say it again. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores, yeah, that's the same verse. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So, God protected Abram and led him in the paths of righteousness back to Canaan for his name's sake. God wants to restore you this morning. Preacher, I made a mistake. I've gotten away from my altars. I've been guilty. If you've been guilty of that before in your life, at any point in your Christian life, I want you to raise your hand. I want everybody to look around. Everybody look around. Keep your hands up. What I'm trying to tell you is, you ain't the first to do it. You won't be the last.
Right.
You put your hands down. I ain't trying to embarrass you. I ain't trying to call you out or anything like that. What I'm telling you this morning is this. God wants you back.
That's right. Yes, he does.
And he's gone to great lengths to make sure you hear that message this morning. Now, what are you going to do with it? You can continue living away from the altars. You can continue living away from the world or living away from God's will for your life and living in the world. Or you can make a trip back to the altars. Get back where God wanted you and intended for you to be the entire time. Dalton's coming to the piano. Come on, I need some ladies. I ain't asking you for a confession. I'm just saying, is there times in your life You've walked away from some altars. You had some altars built around your family. You had some hedges around your family, and you said, I am not going to let anything in, but you have. We've allowed people into our lives. We've allowed friendships into our lives. We've allowed other things into our life, and those things are steering us away from God instead of pulling us to Him. I need some men. Bible never said that Sarah built the altars. I'm going to walk over here and say that because it was really good. Bible didn't say anything about Sarah building the altar. Wasn't Sarai's responsibility to build the altar. I need some men to hear me.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Let men be men. Let men be men. Some of you need to come build an altar. Bring your family to the altar. We allowed ourselves to get into the world, allowed ourselves to get away from altars, and we wonder why. Why my family ain't doing this, or why my family ain't doing, why is it such a struggle for us to do something godly, or us to come to church? I need a man that'll lead. I need some men that'll lead. Too many of us are satisfied living in Egypt. Selling out our family. Selling out things in our lives that God never meant for us to leave, never meant for us to lose. Heads bowed with me. This morning I want you to be honest with this preacher. You don't know me? That's okay. I want you to know this. I love you. Not because I know you, but I love you for His name's sake. So as I stand up here this morning, I want to ask you a question that was asked to me. I know some of you question why I do the invitations the way that I do, but I'm thankful for a day when a preacher asked me this question. If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I'm thankful a preacher asked me that. Because September 28, 1997, I admitted, I confessed that if I died right then, I'd go to hell. Why? Because I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for me. So I ask a question again. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Nobody's looking around. Say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand right up so I'll know how to end the service. That's all I'm doing. We're fixing to close the service out. We're fixing to leave. I see that hand. You can put it down up in the balcony. I see it. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Is there anybody else? Preacher, here's my hand. I'm just being honest. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody else like that? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? I remember that day in my life. I remember sitting there on a pew next to my wife, not knowing where I'd spend eternity. I can remember the fear. I can remember the conviction that was on my life. Heart beating a little quicker. It's amazing how that happens. It's like God just reaches down and taps you on the shoulder and says, I'm talking to you. That day, listen to me, September 28, 1997, changed my life. That day I realized it wasn't about a bunch of rules, but it was about a relationship. And that day I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. You can do that today. You can. If you raised your hand, I want you to know something. You can do it today. Same way that I did it back September 28, 1997. You can do it today. And you'll have your date. June 26, 2022. The day that you placed your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like to help you with that if you'll let me. I won't come to you and I'm not going to embarrass you. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. When nobody's looking around, I want you to get up out of your seat and come to me. I know that's a tough ask. But it can be done. I did it. I got up out of my seat. I walked an aisle. And God changed my life. He'll do the same for you. If you'll come this morning. I'm standing down front on the floor. I'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Amen. Trent. Anybody else? One of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. A decision that'll impact your eternity. My gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I sure am thankful. Lord, for all the times, Lord, that you've had to come drag me out of Egypt. Thankful, Lord, that your love, your faithfulness is far greater than mine. Lord, I failed you many times wandering from where you want me to be into Egypt. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful every time you come and got me. Lord, I pray that you be with the folks that are here this morning. Lord, I know I'm not alone. I know that I ain't the only person in the world that's found themselves walking away from you. Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning that they know God, you'll come to where they're at. You'll meet them. You'll restore them. Put them back on the paths of righteousness. Back to the land of Canaan, just like you did for Abram. Lord, give them an opportunity to rebuild them altars in their lives. Lord, I pray for some men. It's a hard thing for a man. It's a hard thing for him to take a step away from his pride and realize that he's been focused on the wrong things. God, he needs to get back to an altar, get back to you. Lord, lead his family there. Lord, I pray that you help the men in this building. Lord, I pray you help the ladies. There's so much that could be preached about Sarai in this situation. But God, it was because of Sarai that you saved Abram. Lord, I'm thankful for a wife who prayed for me. When I was running as far away from you as I possibly could. a woman who loved me, prayed for me, and ultimately, Lord, was the reason that I was in church when I got saved. Lord, I pray that you bless the ladies in here. Lord, I pray they see how important they are to you and to us men. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for a good day at church. Pray for those that couldn't be here with us. God, you know each and every situation. The sicknesses, the hurts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us and continue to bless us.